Today on Bold Steps, Mark Jobe says your faith is going to be tested, but through that testing is the potential for something great.
This is a perseverance that says I'm remaining under this weight because there's something that's being developed and I'm not losing my joy because in the process something is happening in my life. There's a character that's being developed in me.
Welcome to Bold Steps with Mark Jobe, President of Moody Bible Institute and Senior Pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago. Well, Mark, today we're going inside a recent chapel service gathering held on the campus of Moody Bible Institute to hear a message you gave. Now, chapel's a very important part of life at Moody, isn't it?
It really is, and I wish our listeners could just peek into the chapel sometime because it's in the heart of Chicago. There's 1,500 students and faculty that pack out the chapel. It's a phenomenal time of worship that happens every week, and we have President's Chapel on Tuesday.
And I sense that you really enjoy those times with the students.
I sit there oftentimes with my wife beside me in the worship time, and I think we have all these young people that are with passion worshiping God. What a powerful experience that is.
Well, it is exciting to see these young people at the start of their life serve God and study here at Moody, but the message you're going to give applies to them and to us.
Yes, I wanted the students to know, and I want our listeners to know, that your faith is going to be tested. And it's part of the faith journey. James reminds us it's the testing of your faith that actually gives you something called perseverance that develops character. In the midst of it, we want relief. But really what God wants is to refine us.
Let's listen now and turn to James 1 as Mark Jobe comes.
So my friend told me that he was nervous about the MRI that they had scheduled him to take. And he said, I know I shouldn't be nervous. I mean, they're just going to put me in a tube. But the idea of being in a tube, and he said, I'm kind of claustrophobic. And the idea of going in a tube and being surrounded, and he's a big guy. And so when he got there, he asked the technician, now tell me, what can I expect? And so the technician told him, well, a lot of people start to feel like they can't breathe. They feel like they're bound in there. They feel nervous. Some people start to hyperventilate when they're in there. And so expect that you're going to get nervous. Expect that feeling of, hey, I'm stuck in this thing. But I want you to know that's normal. And so he said he got in that tube and they put him in there. And he says he's a big guy. This is how he described it. He said, I felt like stuffed sausage. He said, I'm in this tube and this thing is real close to my face. And he said, he's a big burly guy. He said, I told the technician, could you please talk to me? And so the technician was just talking him through it. He felt himself starting to hyperventilate, and then he thought, okay, I'm going to let my mind go somewhere else. This is normal. I'm going to pretend like I'm somewhere else. This is normal. She told me to expect this, and he survived his MRI. But he said to me, I'm glad she told me what to expect. Because when I knew what to expect, it helped me make it through it. I read an article this past week. Someone sent me an article from Christianity Today. And the article was entitled, Lose Your Faith at an Evangelical College. And the article went on to describe a two-part study that had been recently done on college students across the nation. And then had also specifically focused on college students at Christian colleges. And what the study went on to conclude is that most college students go through some crisis of faith. They get away from home, get away from their normal surroundings, their regular community. they start to think more deeply about their faith and theology and culture and how it intersects, and they start asking questions, well, if there is a God, how can he allow suffering? And does God really exist? Is this a cultural phenomena? And how does my faith integrate with the culture around me? If there is a God, why do I feel so lonely and isolated? And they start wrestling through deeper issues of their faith and their experience. And this article went on to say that Christian colleges are the same or even higher in some of the crisis of faith that people go through. I was thinking about that and thought to myself, you know, in the next 3 years, 2 years, 4 years, some of you 6, 7, 8 years, however much time you have here, I'm absolutely convinced that most of you in this place will go through some crisis of faith. And so just like my friend whose technician talked to him about what to expect in advance before he went into the MRI, I feel like I want to talk to you a little bit about what I know that you will encounter during this time. In fact, I hope that your faith is tested and that you wrestle with God. In fact, I expect it to happen. I want it to happen. I want you to have some testing of your faith that shakes you to your very core, that you wrestle with God, that you wrestle with your faith, that you struggle with Christianity, that you ask yourself those deep questions, those hard questions, that you wonder, should I even be thinking these things right now? Is this even right to be thinking? I want you to go through that. In fact, I'm praying that your faith will be tested. I'm happy if it is. Because if you haven't gone through a time where you're struggling with not only the intellectual capacity of your faith, the hard issues of surrendering to God, if you don't go through it in a place like this, eventually you will go through it. And I would rather you go through it here than later on. And so, as I was thinking about this article, today see me as the technician. I'm telling you a little bit what to expect, and some of you may be even surprised about your crisis of faith, your testing of faith. Some of you may be shocked that that's what you go through. And I want you to embrace it. I want you to understand that part of it's the growing up of coming to maturity of your faith, wrestling with surrender, and understanding the depth of what you believe, not just as something that's culturally passed down through your parents, but something that you stand on, believe, and are convinced of. And so my mind went to a passage that maybe we typically don't associate with this kind of trial or crisis, but in James chapter 1, I'm just going to remind you of a couple of things that James tells us concerning the testing of our faith. And there's a couple reminders I want to give you about the testing of your faith that will happen, I expect to happen, I want to happen. James chapter 1, I'm going to begin reading in verse 2. It says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him." So let me just remind you as you're going through the testing of your faith of a couple things. One, if you're taking notes, jot this down. You need to hang on to your joy. And the only reason you can hang on to your joy is that you remember that there's a purpose in the pressure. You know, he says a crazy thing to these people whose faith were being tested. And normally when we think of trials, and a lot of, we think of sort of persecution from the outside, and that was certainly what some of the folks during the times where this book was being written were facing. But notice it says, the testing of your faith and trials of various kinds. Not every testing comes in the form of persecution. Some of the testing comes in the form of our own struggle with our faith. And it's still the testing of our faith. It's something that stretches our faith, that pushes up against our faith, that puts pressure on our faith, that causes us to figure out, hey, how strong is my faith, and will I continue to hold on to it? And so he reminds us here, consider it pure joy, which is a crazy thing to think about. And some people think that this passage is saying, I want you to really be happy about some trial that comes into your life. Hey, I'm driving my car. My tire blows out. I'm stuck on the expressway. It's raining. It's drenched. No one's stopping. And some people have said, well, you know what you're supposed to do is say, hallelujah. Yeah, so glad that my tire blew out and I'm drenched in rain. I'm so glad that this is happening to me. That's just weird. He's really not telling us that. He's telling us that what we are to be rejoice or have joy over is not the trial itself, but the product of the trial. What is this trial producing? Whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And by the way, I want you to notice that he says, whenever you face trials, not if you face trials, but whenever you face trials, because it will come. And so what he's telling us to focus on is not to celebrate that your mother was diagnosed with breast cancer, or that your dad lost his job. He's not saying to celebrate those things. He's saying, I want you not to lose your joy, knowing that during this time of testing, good will be produced out of it.
That's Mark Jobe, and you're listening to Bold Steps, a message given to Moody Bible Institute students at a previous on-campus chapel service, but really for all of us, isn't it? We'll return to the teaching in a moment. In case you ever miss anything on the radio, just go online to our main website, boldstepsradio.org, boldstepsglobal.com. You can catch up there anytime. Or if you prefer to listen to these teachings while you're out on the go, or perhaps even during a workout, you can subscribe to our podcast. You'll find us on most of the major podcast apps by searching for Bold Steps with Dr. Mark Jobe. In addition to these daily messages, Mark is also releasing a new video content exclusively on the Bold Steps YouTube channel, so be sure to subscribe there as well. He shares brand new teachings in short videos each Tuesday on subjects like identity, living on mission, and even dating and marriage. You can subscribe today by searching for Bold Steps Radio on YouTube, or type in youtube.com/@boldstepsradio. You'll also find encouraging content right on our Facebook and Instagram pages. Search for Bold Steps Radio. Now, back to the message. Here again is Mark Jobe on Bold Steps.
I've been around a lot of mothers who have had babies and expectant mothers. Just this past Sunday, I prayed over a mother who is going to have a baby. By the way, I've stopped saying, oh, you're pregnant. That's a dangerous thing to say. Unless they're popping, like she was doing 3 weeks, and I just looked at her and said, so how you feeling? I didn't even say, oh, are you pregnant? I've learned a few things over the years. And she said, oh, I'm about to do. I said, oh, I thought you were. Be careful. This is Ministry 101. You need to include that in the pastoral training. And I was able to pray for this baby, and she was so excited about the baby, that the little baby boy that was about to come. But I've never heard one woman pregnant say, oh, I am so pumped up about the labor. Like, man, oh, I just can't wait to, like, the breathing part and the the popping of the veins. And I just can't wait for the pain and the struggle. Man, I'm just looking forward to it, like, so much. Never one woman ever has said that to me. But so many mothers that I talk to say, I can't wait to hold this baby in my arms. I'm so excited. But I'm going to have to make it through the pain, the labor. But the joy of the baby overshadows the pain of the labor. And so that's exactly what James is telling us in this verse. He's saying that there will be pain, and there will be pressure, and there will be stress that will strongly be imposed on the current faith that you have. It'll be pressured and stretched. What you think, your ability to depend on God, what you have believed over the years, your confidence in the gospel and in the God that you serve, it will be stretched and pushed and punched. There will be seasons in your life where it will be painful to be a follower of Jesus. But James, in essence, is reminding them and encouraging them, listen to this, to let the pressure prepare you for your purpose. Someone needs to write that down. Why? Because what the testing of your faith produces or develops in your life is something that most of us really don't want that much. We don't ask for it. It's not a big thing. It produces the testing, the stretching, the pushing of your faith when your faith comes under pressure and you are struggling under stress and pressure of letting your faith hold you up. It produces something called perseverance. Very few people pray for perseverance. In part because they don't understand the power of perseverance. Perseverance is a gateway characteristic. It's the door opener. It's not what ultimately we strive for, most of us. A lot of people pray, I hear them pray, give me more love, more compassion, more power, more mercy, more faith. I want to trust you, more joy. But what they don't understand is that perseverance is the platform character. It's the door opener. It's the gateway. It's the precursor to all these other characteristics that God is seeking to develop in you. In fact, if you do not develop perseverance, if you don't have this perseverance, then you will be perpetually in immaturity. And can I tell you this? I've been ministering for a long, long, long time. And I know people. Yeah, people that have been around Jesus a long time. And they remind me of it. I've been a Christian for 20 years. But I've discovered that longevity doesn't equal maturity. I've discovered just because someone's been around a long time doesn't mean they've developed perseverance that brings maturity. In fact, I've run into some very extremely immature people that have known Jesus a long time. Extremely immature. Because what happens when you have faith but don't have perseverance, you keep bailing out of things. And by the way, we don't bail out of things just because we spiritualize our bailing out. You don't bail out of a church because you can't get, you don't say, well, I left because I just didn't get along with someone. You say, well, you know, one message they preached at the end, I just wasn't quite sure the one little phrase he said, if he was, so for doctrinal purity, I left the church. No, you didn't. You left the church because you couldn't get along with your Sunday school teacher. Come on, be honest about it. People bail out of churches, small groups, schools, relationships, ministries, all kinds of things. They bail out when it gets tough. They bail out when it gets difficult. They continue bail out. And if you continue to bail out, if you continue to quit when things get tough, you never develop this gateway characteristic that opens up the door for your maturity. And so you can live a life of perpetual immaturity continually because you've never developed this one thing that's called perseverance. Now, I'm not a Greek scholar, but this word I'm told, correct me if I'm pronouncing this wrong, is hupomone. All the Greek guys are like, yeah. It's okay, the accent's in the wrong place. I would say hupomene. But if you break this word down, really, it's a compilation of two words, hupo, which means under, and mene, which means remain. So perseverance says, remain under.
That's Mark Job, president of Moody Bible Institute, speaking to students on the campus at a recent chapel service, and good words of encouragement to hang on to your joy and don't bail on the process, something we all need to hear. Today's only the first half of this message. Part two comes your way this time tomorrow, and we hope you'll be back then. If you'd like to hear this message again or perhaps share it with someone you know, go to boldstepsradio.org. And if you'd like to learn more about Moody Bible Institute, where this message was originally preached, be sure to go to moodybible.org. Located in the heart of Chicago, we have students from all across the world, including 54 different countries, and we're still growing. Again, just go to moodybible.org to learn more about education and many opportunities we have available.
We have in our studio today Dr. Bill Thrasher, a faculty professor at the Moody Bible Institute for many years, who's recently written a book called How to Resurrect a Dead Prayer Life.
Isn't that a great title?
I love that title. It just inspires you right away, especially as we're approaching Easter. It fits right in with the theme.
Absolutely.
Here. But, you know, there's a lot of sense in today's culture, the false narrative that everything ultimately is up to us. Bill, you're helping to fight back against this sort of self-made mentality by highlighting the breakthrough power of prayer that is dependent on God.
I think sometimes people look at prayer or other disciplines as, okay, that's one more thing I've got to add to my to-do list, and who wants that? But when you see that the Holy Spirit wants to help me get in touch with my heart and wants to help me pray my heart, that's a real friend. You know, C.S. Lewis says, the prayer that precedes all prayer is this: let it be the real I who speak, let it be the real thou that I speak to. God helping us get in touch with our heart. And I'll tell you a way to get in touch with your heart is your temptations. A temptation appeals to a legitimate need to meet in an unrighteous way. And so if you take your temptations and turn those into conversations with God, like Nathan was sent to rebuke David, he says, and he had covered his sin, but Nathan came to him and he said, you know, God says there in 2 Samuel 12, David, I gave you this. If that had been too little, I'd have many more things like this. I think he's saying, David, I knew what you were thinking and feeling when you had those wrong thoughts toward Bathsheba. I understand that. Made a man, made a woman. Understand that. Why didn't you come to me? And so when you take your temptations and you turn them into conversations with God, we sort of follow our Lord's teaching. If any man's thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And one other thing, not only take your temptations and turn them into conversations with God, but what helps me every day of my life, and you know, I would probably shout this if I just had one more thing to say before I died, and that's this: take your temptations and turn them into intercessions for others. That's somewhat counterintuitive, but if you just focus on saying no, you're going to get tired of saying no. But every time you're tempted, take your most persistent temptation. You know, and there's not a sin to be tempted, but you say, okay, God, would you give me a strategic prayer request that every time I'm tempted this way, I'm going to use it as a trigger, as a motivation to pray. That helps me every day of my life. The temptation of the wrong thing becomes the motivation of the right thing. Think of a mother or father, every time they're tempted to have the impure thought, they pray for the purity of their children. Think of every time you're tempted to be discouraged, you pray for the encouragement of your spiritual leaders. Whatever it is, if just being a prayer partnership with somebody, saying, when I'm tempted, I'm going to pray for you. When you're tempted, you pray for me. That really is life-changing.
I love that. on two accounts. I love that because it just triggers prayer. And I love that because it probably discourages the enemy
absolutely.
From going after. I'm going to tempt him, and they're immediately going to pray.
There you go. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I love that. Here you go. We have Dr. Bill Thrasher, just a man of prayer himself, but also just a real gift to this ministry at the Moody Bible Institute. I can't highly recommend enough this book, How to Resurrect a Dead Prayer Life.
Indeed, and we'll send a copy straight to your door when you give a gift of any amount to support the ministry of Bold Steps. Call us at 1-800-DL-MOODY. That's 1-800-356-6639. Or give online at boldstepsradio.org. Now, you can also send your donation and request for the book in the mail. Simply address your letter to Bold Steps, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. I'm Wayne Shepherd, reminding you to tune in tomorrow when we'll continue this lesson all about how to survive a test. It's coming up Thursday on Bold Steps with Mark Job. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.